Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Hollywood Education Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is actually good. This is a partial list of things that we have learned from the movie industry, sent to us by a listener named Karen Carruthers.
Okay, go ahead, man.
We have learned that at least one of a pair of identical twins is always born evil.
Of course.
We have also learned that should you decide to defuse a bomb, don't worry which wire to cut. You will always choose the right one.
Of course you will. Otherwise, the movie's over.
The movie's over. We've learned that it doesn't matter if you are heavily outnumbered in a fight involving martial arts. Your enemies will wait patiently and attack you one by one, dancing around in a threatening manner until you have knocked out their predecessors.
Well, it's good to know in case, you know, I have this recurring dream that I'm being attacked by ninjas.
Sure.
You know, the guy's all dressed in black, and it's good to know.
You don't have to worry anymore.
Well, I need just to worry about one at a time.
Exactly.
Oh, God, I'll sleep better tonight.
Yeah, of course. Here's another one. We've learned from the movie industry that during every police investigation, it will be necessary to visit a strip club at least once.
I've noticed that.
All beds have special L-shaped cover sheets that reach up to the armpit level of a woman, but only to the waist level on the man lying beside her.
I have noticed that, and it's been bothering me for quite some time.
And this is important knowledge. Should you wish to pass yourself off as a German officer, it will not be necessary to speak the whole language. A German accent will do.
Of course it will.
And finally, this important lesson. If staying in a haunted house, women should always investigate strange noises in their most revealing sleepwear.
I've always felt that was very important, too. Look, if you want to ask a question about how to defuse your car, you can call us now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is Corinne, and I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Hi, Corinne. How are you?
Great.
So what's going on?
Well, my husband has a 98 Honda Accord. And basically, on really hot days, the car won't start.
What does it do then when it doesn't start? It just goes,
Yeah, it cranks and then nothing. My husband rolls down the windows, opens up the sunroof, cools the thing down, and gives it a little pep talk, I'm sure. And 20 minutes afterwards, it turns right back on.
Really?
It starts?
Yeah.
No, so he doesn't take the day off from work when this happens, because that's what I would try to convince my wife I should do.
Yeah, but you know what? He does not go on errands for me, so it's driving me nuts.
Oh, so whenever he has to do some errands for you, he makes sure the car doesn't start.
Yeah, you know, I tell him in the morning, he's like, well, you know, it looks like it's going to be really hot today. I'm not sure my car is going to be able to turn on.
Well, simple. Park in the shade. No, we've seen this for years and years and years, and for whatever reason, it only affects Hondas. In fact,
really?
it almost always affects just Accords. And the problem is the fuel pump relay.
The fuel pump relay.
The fuel pump relay seems to shut down when it gets too hot. And it's located it's located under the dash. And the easiest way to identify it is to go to the Honda dealer and buy a new fuel pump relay. And with the new one in your hand,
you'll find the old one.
You'll find the one under the...
It looks just like it.
It looks just like it. And there's one bolt that holds it on. You can unbolt the thing. Or you don't even have to do that. You can just unplug the old one and plug the new one in and just let it dangle there. And as soon as you do that, your problems will be over.
No way.
It's been
going on for 4 years. That's great.
And 4 years?
Have you taken it to anyone in these 4 years?
Yeah, we took it to both to the Honda dealership. And...
See, we should be charging for this kind of advice.
We get
enough bad answers that we can't charge for, but whenever we have a right answer, we should be sending out invoices. Can we have your home address? No, that's absolutely going to fix it.
Oh, well, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a fix you can do yourself, too.
Well, not really, but I'll take it to...
All right, well, wherever you take it to, tell them you need a fuel pump relay. They may argue with you, but insist, and I'm pretty sure that's going to fix it.
Great, we'll do that then.
Yeah. Yeah, bad news for him, though. He's not going to be able to... You know, I have a feeling.
No more excuses.
Somebody
he probably
must have,
knew this
he knew
a long
this,
time
he
ago.
Knew it. Yeah, in fact, I think we got a call from him not long ago asking this very question. He knew it. He said, how can I get out of doing these errands? We said, don't fix the car. Oh, here's what you do. Here's what you do, Corinne. You just take the car and get it fixed.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Don't even tell him.
Uh-huh.
Someday when it won't start and he's running late, say, hon, take my car.
Uh-huh.
All right, and let him go off, and you go and get a fuel pump relay put in. And then they'll say a word.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you sneaky devil. I knew you'd like that. Good luck.
Let us know how you make out.
Take care, Kurt. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Lowell in Dallas.
Hey, Lowell. What's up?
Hey, I have a 2007 Volvo S40 with 67,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when I pull up, like at an intersection, to turn left, and as I'm turning left and accelerate into that intersection, especially if the intersection is a little bit bumpy, like if there are railroad tracks on it,
uh-huh.
It sounds as if there's something lumpy rolling around in the trunk. I'll hear like clump, 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 clump as I'm making that left turn. And it only does it when I'm turning left. If I turn right, I don't hear it. But I seem to have to turn right to sort of get it to do it again.
Oh, so your guess is that you are throwing something off that's making this boom, boom, boom sound.
Right. But it doesn't seem to do it all the time. I always get the feeling like the turning right pushes it back so that this lumpy sound can then roll back across what sounds like the trunk of my car.
All right.
Well,
it
could be, Lowell, that there is something in the trunk. But if you look, I mean, it doesn't take much. It could be something that's rolling over.
And then you got to roll it back so it can roll over again.
I've checked. There's no bodies in there.
No bodies. But isn't there a well where your spare tire is housed?
There is. And I've checked that. And I haven't been able to obviously see anything that's loose. I thought the culprit might be a flashlight I have back there, but it's wedged pretty well.
But you're sure it's coming from the trunk area?
It sounds like it is, but it could be anywhere in the back.
Well, it would be nice to isolate it to a quadrant. And the way to do this, perhaps, is to have someone else drive the car, and you sit in the various seats other than the driver's seat.
Okay.
And see if you can then isolate where it's coming from.
Okay.
It could certainly be a suspension piece that's broken. But the car's almost too new.
If it sounds like something rolling.
Yeah, see, the car's 2 years old and it's got 67,000. I mean, these kinds of things don't usually happen to any car that's only 2 years old, and certainly not an S40. It's a very well-made car. So
okay.
I'm guessing, so if you can isolate it and determine that it's coming from the trunk area, then you can make the bold step.
And take stuff out of the trunk.
And put you in it. But the first step would be take everything out and drive the thing.
Okay.
And see if, in fact, the noise goes away. And if it does, you can then put stuff back in one piece at a time. By the way, this is going to take you an entire weekend, so you carve out a...
I would much rather take out one thing at a time until the noise goes away.
You could do that.
Then
just leave stuff strewn by the side of the road when you come back.
It would take
you
a week to do this.
Yeah. Well, you're doing your thing. You got the general idea, right, Lowell?
Right. So I'll climb in the trunk and have somebody else drive me around.
Yeah, so if the noise doesn't go away, then you may be able to determine when you're in the trunk or when you're in the back seat, at least, what side it's coming from. And there's not, a whole lot back there, but there is a lot of suspension stuff. You could have a bad trailing arm bushing, and it could be something that is worn out before its time.
Okay.
Obviously, you haven't taken it any place, but when you've eliminated all these other things and you've been locked in the trunk for 72 hours, then you'll be a lot more amenable to taking it someplace.
All right.
And when if you do take it to the Volvo dealer, because you're still under warranty,
right?
You can find out maybe if they have a bulletin on this or something. Maybe you hit a curbstone that you don't know about and you broke something. You may have broken a stabilizer link.
Now, with my driving, that's likely.
Well, you could have broken a stabilizer link, and that would make that kind of noise. And it would make that kind of noise because when you make a left-hand turn, the body of the car rolls to the right, and you could get that kind of a boom, boom, boom noise. Why it calls for a reset by turning it to the right again, I don't know, but they'll find out when they look, perhaps.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, don't ever find that noise. Car Talk, that's 888.
Those are things that make you crazy.
They do.
Unless you get used to them, as I have always done.
Yes. That's why no one rides with you. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Hey, Nancy, what's going on?
I have an unrequited love.
Oh.
Oh, I have been dying for of all things, a Volkswagen convertible Beetle since 1968.
Oh, so are you in love with the old Beetle or the new Beetle?
Actually, I test drove a new Beetle.
Yeah.
And it was a white-on-white new Beetle, but it wasn't a very good test drive because I was sitting behind the windshield of a car that had special across the front, and I had to look between the A and the L to be able to drive the car, and it had balloons flying on it, so I haven't driven another one.
Oh, so this was right off the used car lot.
Right.
And they didn't even take the special banner off of you?
Why I wasn't speeding any faster in the car. You know, he says, most people drive it very fast and test it.
Well, I would if I could see.
Well, my question is, I live in Washington, D.C. right now, where a Volkswagen convertible is absolutely a very nice little car to have in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
but I'm planning on moving to New Hampshire. The houses we've been looking at do not have garages. And I'm afraid to take the car out and leave it in the snow for fear if I got like a white-on-white or whatever.
You may never find it again.
I may never find it again.
Exactly. One snowstorm, you won't see the thing till June.
So my question is, how sturdy are those little cars? Because I did not see any when I was up there this last week.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. So why are you moving? You in the witness protection?
That's my question exactly.
You in the witness protection program? What's happening to you? What's going on, Nancy?
Well, I'm kind of sort of in the witness protection program, but I'm trying to live closer to my grandchild.
Oh, I see.
But I'm worried. My concern is, will the roof hold up under a snowstorm?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
it will.
But,
oh, sure.
But you may know, if you lived in this part of the world before?
No. I'm from Louisiana.
This is only a two-wheel drive car.
Okay.
And you may find out in the wilds of New Hampshire, when there's lots of snow on the ground and you have to drive the car, you may find out that it's a little bit difficult to negotiate the turns and whatnot and to make the thing go without four-wheel drive.
Okay.
So here's my suggestion. If you're moving to New Hampshire, whether you have a garage or not is irrelevant. You're going to have lots of room, a lot more than you had in D.C. You're not going to be living in an apartment complex, are you?
No, I'm going to be living in a house.
In a house,
sure. You can buy a multitude of vehicles.
Well, we have a Honda CR-V.
Okay, so the Volkswagen, you're only going to drive in the nice weather.
Oh, but that's sad, because I really want this car.
See, the CR-V is absolutely the winter car you want to drive. That's going to be the car of choice in the winter. You won't, as much as you're in love with this car, you will not want to drive this car in the winter.
And I probably shouldn't get a white-on-white car. I should get something with a little bit of color in it, like a red and black.
You can leave that special thing right on the windshield. You'll be able to find it. And the balloons, too. Leave the balloons on. Now, if you like white-on-white, Nancy, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you want to put this away for the winter.
Okay.
Maybe you can find a neighbor who has a garage that he or she's not using.
Okay.
Or you can build a carport.
Okay.
Or a lean-to, or maybe you can, you know, maybe you can carve a piece out of a mountainside. You make a cave for it
for the winter.
Yeah.
Along with the bear that's hibernating in there.
Now, by the way, is how old a car were you looking at when you tested it?
I'm looking at a new one about maybe 2 years old.
And how much was that thing? Do you remember?
Oh, it was like $20,000.
Really? Well, I'll tell you, I've been a little bit disappointed lately with the high price of used cars. I think if you look around, you'll find out you might be able to buy a new one for not a lot more.
Really?
Yeah. Used car prices have really gone up a lot.
Okay.
Only because so many people have gone in for the cash for clunkers thing, and when they found out they didn't qualify, they got steered to the used car department, and those guys were drooling when they saw all these customers come in because they can charge anything they want for a used car.
Well, I'm excited about being in that part of the world. It's just...
Well, that'll wear off by Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I've been looking at these cars since, and I've had every kind of car in between, from a pickup truck to a sports car. It's now the time for the retired old lady.
Oh, yeah. If not, now when?
Oh, yeah. You got to do it. Yeah. You got to do it. Why wait?
And when you get my age, if you don't do it, you're going to lose it.
Well,
that's
why my brother went out and finally got that 77 Fiat with all those oil leaks. I mean, he said, if not now, when? I mean, how long can a man wait? You know, you should see his driveway.
Oh, no.
But I would consider...
You got to do it. You got to do what you got to do.
But look at a new one.
Thank you.
Yeah, and try to find the house with a garage. But if you can't, That's okay. You can, maybe you can make do. But and look for a clunker to drive in the winter. You want to buy this thing new, and you want to drive a Ford Ranger pickup truck in the winter.
I can't see me driving another pickup truck.
Oh, when you move to New Hampshire, you want to drive a pickup truck. You'll see. Those are great because you run down a moose or something, you just throw that sucker right in the back. Good luck, Nancy. Let us know you like your new life in New Hampshire. hope you're still laughing in a few months. See you later, Nancy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Boy, she could take a joke.
All right, look, we've reached that particular time in the show.
Oh, is this when the June Taylor dancers come out and do the kaleidoscope thing?
No, this is when NPR's libel attorney comes in and reapplies the duct tape to your mouth.
All right, well, after we take a break, I want to discuss another Grammy incident.
Oh, really? I'm intrigued.
You should be.
Well, we'll have that and lots more of your car questions right after this break, so please stay tuned.
Almost empty, overheating, burning oil, better check the engine. This car is old, older than the tree.
Even though Steve Inskeep reconsiders that offer from Dancing with the Stars whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and a follow-up to Grammy.
Ah, yes, Grammy.
Now, I should remind people who Grammy is. One evening, my extended family went out to dinner to celebrate my older son's birthday.
And you hadn't put much forethought into it, had you?
No, not really.
For instance, you didn't order a cake?
Uh-huh. No, we did not order a cake, but fortunately, luckily for us, the restaurant said that they could provide a cake for us.
What are the chances of that? And when that cake arrived, what did it say on it?
Well, it said, "Happy birthday, Grammy." We devoured it. And as we were leaving, my wife and I stopped to chat with some people at the next table and asked if they enjoyed their meal. And an older woman said, "Yes, in fact, it's my birthday." And I said, "Oh, really? It happens to be my son's birthday, too." And then she asked, "Did you folks have a cake?" I said, "Well, yes, as a matter of fact, we did have a cake." And in a slightly annoyed tone, she said, "Well, how was it?" My wife said, "It was delicious." And then we left, and oblivious of the fact that that was Grammy, and we'd eaten her cake. And we have been unable to this day to locate Grammy to make amends. We're so sorry.
Well, you'll be glad to know that you're not the only lout who ate someone else's cake.
Oh, no?
This letter comes from Alice Donovan from Ireland, who writes, "Recently, my nephew's wife took him out for his birthday to a nice restaurant in Galway City. When they had finished the meal, a cake was brought out by one of the staff, wishing him a happy birthday.
Uh-huh.
Both my nephew and his wife were happily perplexed and couldn't imagine how the restaurant knew it was his birthday. But my nephew loves cake, so he polished off about half of it in minutes. Well, they soon found out that there was another young couple sitting right behind them, and the birthday cake was meant for the boyfriend. To make them feel a bit better, my nephew turned around and said, 'It was a lousy cake anyway.' To which the girl looked horrified and said, 'I made it myself.'"
She probably burst into tears. See, I don't feel so bad now. I mean, we ate Grammy's cake, but at least we knew enough to get out of there in a hurry. Anyway, look, this is where I usually give the answer to last week's puzzler.
And where I usually look like an idiot for not remembering.
I think I'd remove the phrase look like. Anyway, the puzzler is on its annual summer recess. And if you're interested, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, and try to solve the archival puzzler we've posted for you this week.
How do you decide which archival puzzlers to revive? I mean, do you have a system here?
Well, you know, I sort out all the puzzlers by series, and then I try to find one I can still remember the answer to.
Gotcha.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Krista, and I'm calling from Beaverton, Oregon.
What's up, Krista?
Well, I have a 1995 Ford Aerostar van that I use for catering. And about 6 months ago, it started making this mosquito sound. And then it went into a full-on Chewbacca sound when I was steering. And so one of my employees said it needed a steering pump. So her husband put one of those in for me. That didn't work. They had some friends, forever known as Dumb and Dumber, that own a mechanic business that I took it to. And they said, oh, you need a rack and pinion system. So we did that. No bueno.
And let's go back to the mosquito sound.
I thought there was a mosquito in the van, and then I realized it was when I was turning, and then it progressed to a full-on Chewbacca sound. Like, I turned the steering wheel, and it just made this horrible noise.
Do you have to be moving to hear this?
Oh, no.
And the noise sounds like...
Exactly.
That's the noise, right?
That's the one.
Okay.
Like... And it's going through lots of power steering fluid.
It's going through lots of power steering
fluid. Oh, it is.
Yep, there's a puddle in the driveway.
So it only makes the noise, I'm guessing.
When it's low.
When it's empty.
Right, well, it gets low real quick, though, like after about a week.
Oh, geez, you know, it's...
But nobody did anything about that problem?
They couldn't find it. They said I just needed the rack and pinion.
If it comforts you at all, you may have needed the pump.
Anyway,
and or the rack and pinion. But what you need now is the high-pressure hose that runs between the pump and the rack. Okay, and that high-pressure hose takes a lot of abuse. And what happens at the ends where there are metal couplings swaged onto the rubber, the hose leaks. And the best way to get it to leak is to either distort the hose while exerting maximum pressure on the pump. So you turn the steering wheel all the way to one direction or another, and then you hold it there, and then you grab a hold of this hose, and you move it, and you'll see fluid pouring out of it.
Okay,
so when this thing is, if you were to fill this and bleed all of the air out of it, then the noise would probably go away. And it must have, when they put the pump in, the noise had to have gone away, otherwise they wouldn't have returned it to you. They would have kept looking for the source of the noise. And the noise went away because they got all the air out and filled it up with fluid.
Well, it was okay a little while after the pump.
Right, because once you lost the fluid, how much money did you spend on these repairs?
the pump, I just paid for the pump. It was like $63. Then Dumb and Dumber got a hold of it, and it was $150 for them to go to the U-Pull it, I'm sure, and get a rack and pinion off of another Aerostar.
Oh, so they found a used one. Oh, so now you have doubts about whether the rack and pinion, so it's possible that the leak isn't where we think it is. It's possible that the leak is in either the used rack you put in it or the hose. Check that hose. Because I have a strong feeling that...
It's the hose.
If they can't get the hose to leak, what they should do is remove the bellows from the rack and pinion. Okay? If Dumb and Dumber don't know what the bellows are, then run.
They're never going to get near it again. I've got a new mechanic, and I'm leaving town for a couple weeks, and he's going to take it while I'm on vacation.
Well, he can pull the bellows off and see if the leak is from the rack.
Okay,
if it is, then the simplest thing to do is to buy a rebuilt rack and pinion. They almost never leak.
And
put that. It'll cost you a lot more money, but at this point, you've already squandered enough, and you're wasting your time calling us. So if you're going to this guy in the first place, you would have been all set a week ago. Good luck, Krista.
Thank you.
I'm rooting for it being the hose.
Yeah, I am.
Great.
Too.
I wrote it down. I'll tell the mechanic.
Yeah,
Thank
the
so
high
much.
Pressure hose. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nick from Montauk, New York.
Hi, Nick.
Montauk.
The name of your own city kind of threw you there for a second, didn't it?
Yeah.
Are you making up a name? That...
No, it's East End of Long Island.
Okay, no.
It's a quaint little drinking village, the fishing problem, as we call it.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, I've been there. So what's going on, Nick?
I got a 1995 Jeep Cherokee with 210,000 miles.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my problem is it won't die. A couple of years ago, I made a deal with my wife, and she said that once my Jeep completely gives out, she'd buy me a brand new BMW.
Really?
This was back at 170,000 miles. So I figured, we'll give it a year or two. I drive quite a bit. It'll give out, right?
Yeah.
And you being the fair-minded guy that you are, you haven't taken any extraordinary measures to get it to die.
It won't go down.
It won't go down.
No, it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
It may. Jeez, so what's your dilemma here? You want us to help you try to end its life?
I figured you guys could help me out. How do I kill it?
Yeah. You may never see the BMW.
Really?
Well, we could suggest all kinds of things. You could certainly, not change the oil for the next year.
Well, it does burn oil, but, she knows that, and she always puts oil in every few weeks. Oh, 4,000 miles.
So she's not eager to buy you the BMW.
Oh, no. This is like a strict deal we got going here.
This is a strict deal? And so you don't feel that it's incumbent upon you to play by the rules, or do you?
Well, I did it first, but now it's 3 years later. Come on.
Well, what determines that it's dead? For example, let's say the transmission were to conk out.
Yeah, I mean, anything that's like a major repair. More than like, $1,000. The transmission would be great.
So $1,000 is the cutoff.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah.
So if a mechanic said to you, look, I can put a used transmission in this thing for $850, you'd groan and say, oh, no.
No, she would relent at that point.
She would relent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think the only thing you can do is, she can add all the oil to what she wants, but I think the only thing you can do to hasten its demise is to stop doing any kind of maintenance on it, except stuff that concerns safety.
I mean, I don't do any maintenance.
Well, you must change the oil once in a while.
Oh, I used to go about 4,000. Now I go about 10,000.
You got to go more than that, man.
More than that?
Yeah, I think you need to take a cross-country trip.
Yeah, fat chance.
No, I think that's what you got. Well, there are no rules about that, right? You can drive the car wherever you want.
I can go to China if I want, but as long as it gives out.
Right, as long as it... Well, it'll give out. You start climbing the mountains with this thing. I think you should head for the Rocky Mountains.
I haven't seen my car. I've gone actually twice across country with it. Nothing's happened to it. The second time with that in mind, actually, I figured maybe in like Reno would conk out. No.
She hasn't sneaked an engine into this thing or anything like that?
No, it's the same one. Just keep going and going.
Well, let it go, man.
Yeah, you might have one of those cars that just can't be killed.
Yeah, there are such things.
Yeah. Here's what you do. Oh, my God, why didn't this occur to me earlier? You're not that far away. You need to let my brother drive this for a couple of weeks. He can kill any car. Or maybe my son, Andrew.
No.
He could do it, too.
My cars last forever.
They do, huh?
They really do.
It just seems like forever. So how long did you... You didn't buy this thing new, did you, Nick?
This actually used to be my father's car a long time ago. He gave it to me years back.
Maybe. Here's another approach. Maybe you can do something to the car that makes her embarrassed to have neighbors see you in it. Maybe, I think, an interesting paint job.
Huh?
Maybe some decals or something.
That could do it.
Yes. I don't know.
Yeah, something that will make the thing really stand out. I think some artwork. I think you should take the thing down to the elementary school and have the kids draw on the car.
Really?
Yeah, I think if it's enough of an embarrassment to her, then she'll want to call off the bet and buy you whatever 5-series BMW you want, baby.
You haven't met my wife, though. She's pretty by the book. Has to have a $1,000, a big major repair.
Oh. What does she do? What does she do for a living? Is she an attorney?
She's an attorney.
How did you know that?
They'll get you. They'll get you every time.
Yep.
All right. So you know what? So if she's an attorney, you're screwed, man. You're going to have to do something sneaky. And I think you're going to have to drain about 3 quarts of oil out of this thing and drive it. And then it'll be done for. That's the only hope. That's the only hope you have. But you didn't hear it here.
All right.
Yeah. Well, good luck, man.
All right. Thank
you, guys. By the way, before you do anything, get it in writing from her. I don't know. I wouldn't go on any word of mouth. Get it in writing.
All right, thank you.
Say it, Nick. Oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Alice calling from West Bloomfield, Michigan.
Hi, Mary Alice. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. How are you guys today?
Great. Not bad. What's going on?
I've got a 1998 Chrysler Cirrus, and I've got some metal-on-metal grinding noise happening in the front end of the car.
That's the engine. That's the engine running.
It sounds like it's something in the suspension and not so much in the wheel. And it happens when I'm turning a hard turn at low speeds, pulling out of a parking spot, into a parking spot, that kind of thing.
As you're turning the steering wheel?
Yes, but only when I'm moving. If I turn the steering wheel when I'm parked, there's no noise.
Make the noise.
Yeah, make the noise.
It makes me cringe. It's like...
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
But only
sound.
When the vehicle's moving.
Only when it's moving and only at low speeds.
And only when you're turning the wheel. If you
Correct.
Stop turning the wheel.
There's no noise.
So the second you stop turning the wheel, the noise goes away, even if you continue to move?
Correct.
Correct.
And I've had a ball joint go bad on a similar vehicle. It was a Stratus, which was the same year. And so I'm familiar with what a ball joint feels like and sounds like when it goes bad, but this sounds worse than that, and I can't hear it when I'm going down the road at all.
Hmm. At what speed does it cease to exist?
Maybe 10 miles an hour, and it sounds like it's coming worse from the driver's side front wheel than from the other side, but it does sound like it's happening on both sides.
Really?
And I just had new tires about 3 weeks ago, and it was up, and the mechanic at the shop, it was, I'm not sure, Bell Tire or Goodyear or something like that. And they checked it out, and my fiancé had them look at the ball joint, and they said it looked okay, and the front suspension looked okay.
So did they hear the noise?
No.
I mean, no.
No.
As far as I know, my fiancé took the car, so I think he just had them look at it when it was up.
So they didn't.
And the best part is he's an engineer for Chrysler.
Your fiance is? Oh, so he has a vested interest in not having this problem discovered. It would tarnish the reputation.
Right,
he may have
even
been involved in designing this front suspension. Well, I mean, it certainly could be something like a ball joint, even though it might make not the same noise that it made the last time you had a ball joint going bad. Or it could be, I'm thinking, the support bearing on the top of the McPherson strut. Okay, and that could make that kind of a noise too. But it should be the kind of thing that's very easy to reproduce.
Yeah.
Because you suggested by your description that it happens every time you back up the car or go forward and turn the wheel. Isn't that true?
Just about,
yeah.
It's got to be a hard cut of the wheel, but just about every time. And backing up seems worse than pulling in.
Well, these guys, especially your fiancé, need to take the car for an extensive road test. And the way we always found these problems out is we strapped my brother to the hood.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
with his head hanging over the side. You can discover a lot with you. So we'd hang him off one side of the car first and then the other, and we'd always discover where the noise was coming from. So
I always discovered where the noise was coming from.
So it's likely that you're right. It's probably coming from the driver's side. So that's the side I'd concentrate on. We now, since my brother is no longer allowed in the shop, we bought this little transmitter thing, which actually has four little transmitters and a receiver, and we strap these things to the car or attach them with a Velcro fastener, and then you can drive the thing and actually can hear which one of the transmitters is sending the signal that you're looking for. So they may have to resort to that, but I like the road test. So these guys that he took it to have to take it off the lift. Not every problem is solved on the lift. They have to hear the sound, and then they'll figure it out. But it could be something in the strut bearing, the strut support bearing. It could be that, or it could be a ball joint too, or a tie rod end. But if it's a 98, it's got a lot of miles on it. It could be something serious. Something might be getting ready to break.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, I'd be afraid too. Tell your fiance to get cracking on it.
Okay. All right, great. We'll do. Thank
All right,
you so much.
See you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a very short break.
This is so we can recharge our batteries.
Oh, is that what that is? A lantern battery. I always thought that was your nose.
Well, it's smaller than that Sears Die Hard you got. Anyway, when we come back, I've got some puns that will knock your socks off.
Oh, jeez.
Some real groaners here.
Oh, great. If you must, we'll be back with more of your calls and lots more in just a minute.
You're going to love these.
I don't think so.
Saw her in a rearview mirror, turned
signals flashing clear. Pass me on the other side. I did it with a sense of pride. Then she slows to let me pass. Waves me on to watch me crash. Hopes to sue me for whiplash. And then just drive away. I can hear her radio as she's flying by. Something about your mama. What made her cry? She may be a runaway in search of a new zip code. May dismiss me today, but she's still on the road.
And even though our kids change their Facebook status to hiding and denying parentage whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a few groaners, I'm afraid.
These are not the long, drawn-out puns that you hate. These are the short ones that you hate.
Okay, I'm sure. What do you got, man?
All right. These were sent to me by Andy Bell.
Go ahead. Lay it on me.
Did you hear about the guy whose whole left side was cut off? He's all right now. I liked it already, didn't you?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Okay. An invisible man marries an invisible woman. The kids were nothing to look at either.
Are there more just like this?
Yeah.
They get better or worse?
Worse.
Oh, good.
A small boy swallowed some coins and was taken to a hospital. When his grandmother telephoned to ask how he was, a nurse said, "No change yet."
You're right. They're getting worse.
I was having dinner with Garry Kasparov, the world chess champion. The tablecloth was checkered, and it took him 2 hours to pass me the salt. All right. One more. I wondered why the baseball was getting bigger. Then it hit me.
Well, those could have been... No, they couldn't have been worse. Anyway, for those of you who are missing the puzzle right about now...
That wouldn't be me.
Oh, I know that.
Actually, that's not true. I mean, I do enjoy the puzzler. If only to watch you squirm when the hate mail starts flying.
Well, look, the puzzler will be back in a few weeks. In the meantime, you can check out this week's archival puzzler on the website. Or if you have a car question, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Marlon calling from D.C.
Marlon,
D.C. What's up?
I got a 2001 Lincoln Navigator.
Okay.
And say I'm at a stoplight and I'm running the air conditioning. Yeah. When the light turns green and I accelerate, it sounds like a waterfall behind my stereo.
Yeah.
Like, whoosh.
You know why? There's water.
There is a waterfall.
Does it only happen during the air conditioning season?
Yeah, only when I have the air on, and only you can only notice it like when I accelerate.
Right, because the water is moving.
But it's like right behind my dash.
Right, because that's in fact where
that's where it is.
That's where the water's stuck. Do you notice next time you got nothing to do, when you've run the air conditioner and driven the vehicle for a while, stop and after you've parked the thing, notice if you see water dripping out from underneath. I bet you don't. You know, almost every other car in the D.C. area has water dripping out from underneath. Underneath the car, right. And that's the water that's been condensed from the moist air that's in your passenger compartment. And that water is supposed to escape via a drain, and yours isn't escaping.
Because your drain is plugged up.
Yeah, and your car's drain's probably plugged up, too. But your drain's plugged up, Marlon. So you need to have somebody blow the thing out, because that water is sloshing back and forth because it's not dripping out onto the street like it's supposed to. And eventually what's going to happen is you're going to make a turn, a sharp turn, an abrupt turn, maybe to avoid a pedestrian in the street, and your pants are going to get soaked. And because all that water is going to come spilling out because it's got no place to go.
How long has this been going on?
I just noticed it this season.
Really?
Oh, the season.
I'm in the military. You have to take a day off work to get your car serviced.
Oh, no, you got to take it to the motor pool, man.
Sure, they'll take care of this for you in no time.
There are so many people in this area, you have to get at the local dealership or Midas or something at 5 a.m.
Really?
The first one when they open up, you got to be the first one in the door. Then so maybe you can get your car seen on that day.
So you can't sneak this into the motor pool, eh?
No.
Well, no. Maybe he's just planted a seed. Maybe he will tomorrow.
Maybe he'll.
But this is a 5-minute job. You know, you can go. You don't have to go to a specialty shop. You don't have to go to an air conditioning shop. You can go to some place that changes your motor oil.
Oh.
And tell them
to blow out
the evaporator drain.
evaporator drain. Got it.
Yeah. They're going to use a compressed air that comes out of a nozzle, and when they blow out the debris that's in there, all that water is going to come out.
Awesome.
See you, Marlon.
Thanks.
Keep cool, man.
All right.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa from San Jose, California.
Hi, Lisa.
I have a 2006 Lexus 330.
Okay.
And I bought it about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 weeks ago, when I leave one or both of the back windows down, it makes this really loud and a low, like a Three Stooges sort of sound. To the point where it felt, like that. And to the point where it felt as though my eardrums would burst. And my husband has a Jeep, and it's 10 years old, and it does the same thing, but it didn't do it when we first got it. So he's trying to tell me that it's a pressure thing, and to just crack another window, and it'll release the pressure, and that works. But I'm just wondering why it's not a spaceship. It's just a car.
It makes that sound because it wasn't designed to have the, in fact, they should cement those windows shut.
Yeah.
It wasn't designed to be driven.
With the windows open.
With the windows open.
What?
Unless you're driving at very low speeds. I mean, you don't get this if you're driving at 12 or 15 miles an hour. But when you get up over 20 or 25, it begins to give you this annoying rhythmic woo, 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 woo. And at 40 or 50 miles an hour or higher, it's deafening.
Is he right? Is it a pressure thing?
Well, when you say it isn't a spaceship, in fact, automotive engineers are trying to make cars more like spaceships. I mean, think about it. What's the most aerodynamic shape possible? The bullet. That's why there aren't too many square bullets. They're all that bullet shape. So if you make your car bullet shape, you make it slick. And when you try to do that, you can't allow for the windows to be open because you allow air to go in where it shouldn't be going in, and that makes the car unslippery or unslick.
Which means you get lousier mileage.
So they didn't intend to make the car do this. This is one of the consequences of making a car that's very aerodynamic. That when you open a window, and it's even worse if you open just one window, at least it is on most of the cars I've driven. If you open one of the front windows, sometimes you can make it a little better, but sometimes it doesn't make any difference. And it's just an unintended consequence of making the car very aerodynamic because it's upsetting the natural flow of the air around the body of the car. And when that happens, you get this buffeting. You get this whoa, 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 because the air is getting pushed in, and then the car is getting a little pressurized, and it's pushing that air out, pushed in and pushed out, so it's a pulsation. It's like someone beating on a drum, and it'll drive you crazy. Just ask my brother.
So he's right.
Yeah, so it isn't just this car. It's virtually every modern car.
Really? So it's not just because this is a crossover, it'll happen on smaller cars? Because I haven't noticed that.
No, it'll happen somewhat to every car. Some cars are worse than others. But rest assured that everyone else is struggling with this too, Lisa.
Okay, good. I'm not going crazy.
No, right.
You're not going crazy. Yeah. You may have already gone crazy.
No, my brother, when this first happened to him, he said, am I going crazy? We said, yeah. Because we knew in his case he was. But in your case, you're not going crazy. You're going to be fine. But it is very annoying, but there's nothing you can do about it.
All right.
Tough it out.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Who are you?
This is Manuel Cervantes calling from Northwest Arkansas.
From Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, Northwest Arkansas. I'm in Bentonville.
Okay.
What's happening, man?
Well, I have a 79 CJ5 Jeep. I've had it for 30 years. It's very dear to me, and well, as you can imagine, I have all kinds of problems with it. But one of the things that is challenging, I bought it in New Mexico several years ago, and then I drove it into Mexico and lived there for 20 years, and now I'm back in the U.S. But while I was in Mexico, originally the CJ Jeep had an electronic ignition on it, and some mechanic over there, it started giving me some problems. And some mechanic over there in Mexico shifted it to the points and condenser system or whatever it's called, changed the distributor in it and stuff. It seemed to work for a few years over there, and the mechanics over there could fix it, you know. But now that I'm back here in the U.S. with my Jeep, these guys here, they cannot use a computer on it. It's got to be, tuned up by hand or whatever. And I'm just having all kinds of problems with it because it doesn't run smooth and it's a tune-up, and it's just having a hard time finding who to work on it, or maybe I should work on it myself, try to learn how to do it myself, or shift it back to the electronic ignition.
So I'll just drive down to Mexico and get it fixed up. What's the problem?
That would be a long drive. I don't know if it'll make it.
let's first of all try to figure out if the problem you're having is caused by this new distributor that you have. What they did was they took out the distributor that had the electronic ignition components, and they put in a distributor from an older one, maybe like a 73 or something, that had points and condenser. So if it's misfiring, you know, on acceleration, if it's misbehaving, and it's not delivering smooth power, it could be that the points are not working correctly, or the distributor is worn out, or the condenser is faulty.
Yes, okay.
When was the last time you changed the points in the condenser?
About a year ago.
A year ago. And when you did it a year ago, did it run well?
Yeah, it ran well till about 7-8 months ago.
And what have you done since then?
I changed the cables on it, and I changed the spark plugs on it, but I have not changed the points and the condenser.
You need them.
Yeah, I think you might need a set of points, or they may just be closed up. So you may not have to do anything except to put a new set of points in there and adjust them correctly.
Okay, would that be challenging?
No, it's very easy. But it might be a challenge for the 25-year-old mechanics that are working on your car because
they've never seen it before.
Uh-huh.
So what you have to do, Manuel,
you got to find an old guy.
You got to go to like the old age home.
Okay.
You must have one there in Northwest Arkansas. You got to find some guy that has no more than 7 teeth. Okay. And when you find this guy that has 7 teeth or less, he's going to be the guy for you. You say, have you ever worked on cars before? If he says, yes, I have a job for you, and you hand him the points and condenser.
And he'll say, boy, oh, boy.
But I bet you that's what you need. Now, if you can't find somebody with 7 teeth, you may have to go and buy yourself a distributor, the distributor that actually belongs in there.
Okay.
You may be able to get, you know, you go to a junkyard and get the whole thing, take out all the wiring harness and everything, and change it over. But it's these guys that took it apart in Mexico, they didn't give you the old parts, did they?
I probably got rid of them. I couldn't even find them now. I mean, it's been too
long ago.
Since they did that.
Yeah, they still in business. Maybe you can go. Maybe they still have them on a shelf someplace. You can go back. No, but I think the first thing to do is to put a set of points in there.
Yes.
And see if you can get the thing to run properly.
Do I have to calibrate these points?
The points have to be. They have to be adjusted. Yeah, I think the adjustment is like 20 thousandths of an inch gap.
Okay, well, I don't know about how I'll do that, but...
No, that's why you got to find the guy with the 7 teeth. You're not going to do that.
Okay, I won't mess with that. I need to find the 7-tooth guy.
Yeah,
you got
the
7-tooth
guy.
You can go as high as 10 teeth, but no more than that.
And he'll have all his old tools.
Right. He'll have something called feeler gauges. There's a little tool called a feeler gauge, and he's
going
to fit that in between the two contacts when they're opened to their widest point. And then you have to hook up the wires. It's very simple. For someone that hasn't done it before... You'll screw it up and the thing will never run again. But enjoy this last ride. This might be the last time it ever runs.
Okay. All right, guys. You guys are great.
Good luck, Manuel.
Have fun with you guys all the time. Thank you.
Take care.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eddie calling from Sacramento, California.
Yeah. Eddie, what's going on, man?
All right, I've got trouble with my 96 Ford Explorer, the rear doors.
Yeah?
They don't open, and from the inside, this happened when I used to take my nephews to the skateboard park, and when I pushed the electric unlock button, they pulled a handle before I had a chance to push that, and it sort of jammed it or did something. And so now, if they're sitting in the back seat, I've got to get out of the car to let them out.
Well, there's a little switch, so to speak, that you can flip that's right on the door.
I moved that lever, and it doesn't change the status of still being stuck. Now, they broke the passenger side first.
So these kids are reform school now, or what?
No. These guys, they're just like so anxious to go to the skateboard park. It's they're like pulling on the handle incessantly, and I'm trying to push the button. So first they messed up the passenger door, and then I used to tell them, hey, you guys got to run around and get in through the driver's side. And they'd hop in there, and next thing you know, they messed that door up. So I'm stuck, guys.
Oh, so what you need to do is you need to take the door panel off. You can open the doors from the outside.
Yes, you can.
And you need to take the door panels off, which gives you access to all the inner workings there, and you'll be able to see, I believe, what they must have done is they must have jammed that child lock. So I think you're going to have to disable the child lock thing so the doors work just like the front doors do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you lock the thing, how old are these kids now?
About 13.
Oh, so you can trust them now.
No.
No.
But you certainly don't need
to hold up my sign like a school crossing guard and say, wait.
Oh, really?
Push this button.
But you can trust that they're not going to open the doors while you're going down the highway at 50 miles an hour.
Oh, no, that way. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't need the child locks anymore.
No.
So what you can do is you can open the doors up and you can disable the child locks. If you don't think you can do it yourself, you can take it someplace and ask someone to do that.
Right.
I think there's just a rod that goes down from that lever, okay, the child lock lever, and it goes to the actual locking to the latch, and you'll need just take that thing off.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, either that or just have them to climb over the seats.
I had my coworker. We all, us guys, rode to the restroom. Everybody had to go, and so we locked them in the back, and us two guys in the front hopped out and just cracked up and
left them there. Well, good luck, Eddie. Take it apart. It'll be a nice Saturday afternoon project.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
I'm sure he wanted to do that anyway. Yeah. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Everglade, Gatorade, Marmalade, Halibrade, Orangeade, Minute Maid, Sushi Grade, Marinade, Grown and Shade, Unfair Trade, Cafe Olade, Brunch Brigade, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our French folk music historian is John T. Alouetta. Our prosecuting attorney is Melissa Forethought. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the relieved-to-be non-English-speaking tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 935, trawl through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a way to get your car question answered.
Yeah, if you didn't get through to us on the air this week, you can always post your question on our discussion boards. They're patrolled by some, pretty talented listeners who have a pretty good batting average in figuring out car problems.
What do you consider a pretty good batting average?
Tracked down and beaten up for misinformation no more than twice a week.
Setting the bar high, aren't we? That's our automotive discussion boards. Post your questions anytime at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's event planner moves the company picnic to an undisclosed location whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.